After the Pharisees criticized Jesus and his disciples for their plucking grain on the Sabbath and healing the man with the withered hand, Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount, reversing the social order, empowering the oppressed, and sharing a vision of God's marvelous, justice-filled kingdom. And he tells the people not to judge or they will be judged, and that we will give, what we give, we will receive. And so perhaps we might view this reading as a postlude to the Sermon on the Mount. So this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 39 through 49. He also told them a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil, for it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the river burst against that house but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you hear about the blind leading the blind and those who bear bad fruit, does anything come to mind from the weak? When you see the circus in Congress and hear of the corrupt circumstances of capitalistic cannibalism, or I don't know if you heard, because you're not quite in the clergy world, some of you, but I know some of my colleagues this week and Methodists all over are upset by the decision of the United Methodist Church to exclude LGBTQ folks from an open and affirmed participation in church. Bad fruit. Blind leading blind. We read the scripture. Or when we think of good foundations and the foundation of the city, our city or the city close to us, and we think of the mayoral race, and we wonder what kind of new foundation might we be forging with two black women as our final candidates? How might they shake the foundations of the good old boys club in a city known for corruption? When you read the word, what comes to mind? The story is tricky, because it makes us look both inward and outward. And we might rather look outward. We might rather point at politics and public life. And we should look at these things. But be careful when we look at individuals. Because it says, hey, don't judge everybody else. Look at yourself. And it also says there's good fruit and bad fruit, foolish and faithful builders. So we kind of want to look at those too, inward and outward. Let me share a story with you. It's from the Moth Radio Hour. And I think it invites us to look within ourselves and to look at those who we are letting lead us. So Faith Ekianagor wasn't born blind. She wasn't blind from birth, but she developed glaucoma as a teenager, which led to the permanent loss of her sight. And when she lost her sight, she became timid in the world, afraid of bumping and falling down, and generally just doing things she had previously never thought twice about. But she had this friend. Her friend was named Toby. And Toby was a fun-loving young woman, and she was bold, and she reminded Faith of how she was before she lost her sight. And so when Faith went to the University of Lagos in Nigeria, that's where she lived, to study psychology, Toby became her helper. They were roommates, and they went everywhere together because Faith couldn't see, and so she needed help to get around. But Faith soon realized that her roommate wasn't dedicated to her studies. She wasn't a serious student. So every morning it became a huge ordeal for Faith to try to get Toby to get up. And Toby would always ask, why was she always rushing? Why they couldn't just stay in bed all day? And she would take a long time to get ready, and Faith would have to beg her every day. And so they would sometimes miss class, or they would be late to class all the time, and Faith's grades began to suffer. And one day, she was rushing Toby to get to class again, and maybe it was a test or something important happening that day. Toby was sitting by the window, as was her custom, and she was doing her makeup and listening to reggae music. And Faith knew that this process took about an hour at least. And she kept hearing a voice in her head saying, you're going to be late. She told Toby, you're beautiful just how you are. Let's go. But Toby wouldn't come. And finally, exasperated, Faith just picked up her bag and her cane and started making her way towards the door. Toby laughed at her and said, what do you think you're doing? Sit down, you'll never make it. But Faith kept going. And she knew the way well because she had taken it every day. But as she got outside, the fear started creeping in. What if she fell? What if she got lost? And she started to pray. And she prayed that God would guide her, that God would send her help. And she also heard the laughter of Toby kind of echoing in her ear as soon as she wanted to turn back. And she wanted so badly to prove her wrong. So when she got to a point, she heard voices in front of her, and she asked them where she might get a cab. And a voice replied, just a little further, maybe 10 steps ahead. And so she walked forward, counting the steps, and then she reached out and felt the car in front of her. And then she heard another voice, the one of the cab driver, asking her where she was going. And she told him to the university. And she opened the door and got in. And as she sat in the car, she smiled to herself and she laughed out loud, thinking, I did it. And this was the beginning of her freedom. The message of this story isn't simply to do everything yourself, nor is that the message of the scripture that we read today. The question is, though, who is really blind? Was it the woman who lost her sight? Or was it the one who didn't care about her studies? Yet perhaps if Toby had been a more conscientious student, Faith would have never been pushed into the independence that carries her to this day. And so the point isn't really to criticize Toby either. We sometimes want someone to have all the answers, to show us what to do, to take the burden of thinking and deciding and figuring out everything. But we don't get those easy answers. We are all bumbling around. It's not saying that we have to do everything ourselves. It's just saying that don't put too much faith in any one person. Don't let someone else's limitations hold you back. Because when you focus on the limitations of another person, you aren't growing. It's saying, put faith in God so much more than any one person. So we are all going to disappoint, but God doesn't let us down. Faith prayed to God as she walked that first walk. And the message of the story is, even if you're blind, you can be qualified by God to do what you need to do. Nor do you have to be blind to defy the odds and do amazing things. See, Faith could have blamed Toby for her suffering grades, but she never really did. She just eventually went about the business of taking the log out of her own eye and fixing her own life. And so we too have the power to fix our own lives, to clarify our own visions, to bear the fruit that God has called us to bear. God gives it to us if we let God. Just like God transformed Faith's life by helping her figure out what she could do and expanding her limitations, so God can transform our lives. Take the dirt out of your eye so you can see. Stop correcting everybody else and worry about yourself. That's what it says. See, self-awareness and hypocrisy are popular topics. They are all around us. In this pastor's group I'm in, they were talking about people saying that they're not interested in church because it's full of hypocrites. And I know you all might have heard this before. Look around. Bunch of hypocrites. You know they're not wrong. We hear plenty of corruption and scandals, though, in every denomination. Don't just blame the Catholics. Now you can find corruption, abuse, and scandal in every arena of life. Religious or secular. It isn't unique to the religious realms, but it is particularly horrifying that the places where the most needy and vulnerable come for help, where the lonely come for companionship, where the lost come for guidance, where the broken come for mending. It is particularly disturbing that in those places, people aren't just as judgy and wrongly self-righteous as anywhere else, but also sometimes downright abusive. But at least we are here trying to clean up our act, the best of us. And we fail and falter, but I know there is value in religion and its ability to connect us with each other and with God. We are coming to learn and transform, and there's always corruption and blind leading blind, but this is why we are reminded here to follow God, and this is why we come here every week seeking to build on the foundation of Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. But when people say, you know, the church is full of hypocrites, we tell them there's always room for one more. We will save a seat for you. Who of us is so righteous that we aren't hypocritical? As soon as you become that righteous, I think your ego kind of ruins it. See, the scripture says that these are parables, but But they feel more like Proverbs, one strong after another without much of a story to support it. In fact, some of them are Proverbs that Jesus is quoting. And so at first, when I read this, it felt like several seemingly random tidbits of advice about living a life of faith. But the more I read it, I see it moving from confusion and hypocrisy to goodness and clarity and strength. It says what not to do and then tells us what to do and gives us righteous guidance. Bearing good fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Fill your heart with Jesus and set your sight upon the Lord, and you will be on the right path. When you build your house on a strong foundation, it doesn't matter even if you are blind. And so let me tell you about another blind person. His name is Eric Weihenmayer. And so he had an eye disease and fully lost his vision when he was around 13, 14 years old. And then he didn't want to learn Braille or use a cane because then that would really mean he was blind. And so he used to have to ride this bus for children with disabilities. And he would always be complaining on the bus, yelling at the bus driver, saying he shouldn't be on this bus, he doesn't belong here, he should be on the other bus with his friends, saying that he wasn't even blind. And then one day, finally, the bus driver kicked him off the bus and told him to get off. And so Eric thought he was gonna just drive off. But actually, the bus driver came and threw a basketball at him, and it bounced off of his head. So kind of harsh, I know. But he said, look, you can't even catch a basketball, you're blind. But then he said, okay, turn this way a little bit and hold up your hands. And he threw the ball again, and Eric was able to catch the ball. So the bus driver said, you can do things, but you have to let people help you, and you have to come to terms with yourself. And so this was his foundation for the beginning of accepting his limitations and then thriving. So we have to come to terms with our limitations and adapt our lives so that we can still accomplish dreams and achieve justice and generally set the world on fire with love. And so Eric came to embrace the tools that he needed to navigate the world. And then even though he was blind, he became an athlete. He was a wrestler. And then he heard about a group that taught rock climbing to kids, the blind kids. And he thought that was so outrageous that he just had to check it out. Who would teach a bunch of blind kids to climb cliffs? So he started rock climbing as a teenager, and he loved the way he could kind of try to figure out a rock surface, like it was a puzzle he could learn to unlock. And now he's climbed every of the highest peaks on the seven continents, which means he's climbed Mount Everest. You know how crazy that is? You know, they like walk across ice canyons on those little ladder bridges, right? And he's been the only blind person to do this. And he also has gone whitewater rafting. He's into whitewater rafting now. 277 miles down like the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon. And he says that the disbelievers and the naysayers can motivate him, but he's not mainly fueled by them. Or by like this defiance. It can help, but it's not really what sustains him. It's not about the judges and the hypocrites. No, he's centered in this idea of challenging himself and exploring like what's possible to break open potential. And I know that God is in the business of producing possibility, and that Christ is the foundation of fantastic capacity, and that through him, it is through him that we live into the amazing potentials that we can be. And so I just want to be a fraction of Eric's blind and crazy for God. So we have to walk around knowing that we are blind. But we also walk around with the faith of a cloud of witnesses, relying on God's people just enough, examining ourselves and focus on our foundation, building our lives upon the rock of our salvation. Unlock the treasure in your chest, not the treason, but the health of your heart. Dig deep into faith, into love, and find your sight. None can shake us when we are attuned to our place as the produce of the Lord.